Once upon a time, in the early 90s, I worked at Grandma's Bed and Breakfast in Berkeley, California. Each weekend, I participated in wedding events, from passing hors d'oeuvres to serving dinner to slicing the wedding cake to clearing the tables to stacking the chairs, and then finally, making my way home. After 6 months of toiling for slave wages, a bluebird whispered in my ear. Rumor had it, working for the event staffer Barry Siegel would boost my reputation, increase my pay rate, and keep my phone ringing off the hook. So first, I gathered intel on Barry. Barry was a New Yorker, a former Wall Street guy, a father, a gin connoisseur, a member of the Jewish community, openly gay, and a punctilious individual. After studying my intel, I developed an interview strategy. 3 days later, I arrived at Barry's house for an interview. Nervously, I rang his doorbell. And as the door swung open, I couldn't help but think he resembled Mr. Magoo. And as his gaze swept over my tight-fitting jeans, I sensed that he found me pleasing. Therefore, with a touch of confidence, I entered his home and proceeded to his kitchen. Minutes later, after unpacking my grocery bag, I placed smoked salmon, capers, creme fraiche, dill, and water crackers on the coffee table. And as Barry's eyes sparkled with amazement, I asked, "Can I fix you a gin martini?" As the martini shaker rattled, I asked, "What is your favorite art piece at the Met?" As the interview drew to a close, I asked, "How are your children?" 2 days later, Barry offered my first big-time catering gig. And without hesitation, I accepted the offer. On the day of the event, in a piecemealed tuxedo, I arrived at the gift center, located at 888 Brannan Street in San Francisco. Standing amongst 30 waiters, I anxiously awaited the general meeting. And as the meeting began, I jotted down the timeline, menu, and table assignments. As I navigated toward my assigned tables, anxiety welled up within me. You see, I had never served a five-course dinner, let alone carried a banquet tray of 10 entrees. Yet, I clung to my mantra, "Fake it till you make it." And as the dinner service got underway, the waiters queued for the first course. As I stood in line, I carefully observed the waiters preceding me. As I arrived at the front of the queue, like a diligent parakeet, I mimicked the preceding waiter's actions. And therefore, my inexperience remained undetected. Between dinner courses, I struck up conversations with my fellow waiters, after which I concluded, all the waiters on the upper balcony were green. As I served dessert, I noticed a tray of dessert plates slipping over the balcony edge. However, I continued to cling to my mantra, fake it till you make it. As I cleared the last table, a sigh of relief escaped my lips. You see, despite my aching biceps and a sweaty, drenched tuxedo shirt, I didn't drop a plate. My mantra worked. Fake it till you make it. Once upon a time, I found myself working at the San Francisco Fashion Center, located at the intersection of 8th and Townsend Streets. The event was no ordinary gathering. It was a multi-million dollar AIDS fundraiser of epic proportions, bearing the title, Seventh on Sale. 2 hours prior to the event, 20 waiters and I congregated in the preset dining room. With a sense of curiosity, we wandered amongst the dining tables, reading the meticulously arranged place cards. Soon afterwards, a wave of gossip swept the dining room. Word had it, Paloma Picasso, Donna Karen, Ralph Lauren, Calvin Klein, Richard Gere, and Cindy Crawford were attending tonight's gala. Also, word had it, waiters were offering a bounty of $100 for the privilege of serving Cindy Crawford. As the ballroom lights dimmed, bedazzled in furs, sequins, and diamonds, the guests made their way to their seats. As my guest arrived, I tucked their napkins and poured the wine. Once the welcome speeches concluded, I delivered the salad course. While placing the salad courses, I noticed the place cards of Richard Gere and Cindy Crawford, after which I couldn't help but burst into laughter. As I returned to the kitchen, I contemplated, why would a waiter offer $100 bounty for a glimpse of the rich and famous? So, I decided to see what all the fuss was about. As I returned with the entrees, I looked directly into Richard Gere's eyes. At that moment, time came to a screeching halt, and my jaw dropped. You see, in 1980, I viewed one of the first HBO Hollywood films to feature frontal nudity from its main actor. Repeatedly, I watched that film, and each time the main character removed his clothes, I became aroused below the waistline, and on occasion, I would fondle my genitals. Until that present moment, I had no idea that the main character was the actor Richard Gere. It was an embarrassing revelation, one that left me with a raging hard-on. Therefore, as the dinner service concluded, I refrained from looking at the Hollywood legend. As the event concluded, a fellow waiter asked, "What was Cindy Crawford wearing?" My response, "Who is Cindy Crawford. Once upon a time, I managed a private cocktail party held in the most opulent zip code in the United States, 94027. This event was no ordinary gathering. It was a political fundraiser in support of the Iron Lady. After the waitstaff arrived, I conducted a staff meeting. Each waiter received their specific duties, from serving delectable bite-sized hors d'oeuvres to mixing cocktails with precision. As the event began, a representative of the Iron Lady presented me with a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue and instructed it be poured exclusively for the guest of honor, while the remaining guests were to be served Johnny Walker Red. Given the opulence of the Atherton setting, the instructions struck me as somewhat tacky. I felt if one can afford to provide Johnny Walker Blue for the entire party, one should offer Johnny Walker Red to everyone. However, I followed the directive and relayed the message to the bar manager. As the party got underway, the cocktails flowed, and the kitchen churned out delectable hors d'oeuvres. Yet, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed something particular happening. I witnessed the bar manager pouring Johnny Walker Red into an empty Coke bottle. While surprising to see, I assumed the bar manager had a valid reason for his actions. As the night came to close and we began to dismantle the bar, curiosity got the better of me. Therefore, I approached the bar manager and asked, "Why did you pour the Johnny Walker Red into a Coke bottle?" With a smile, the bar manager stated, "I poured the Johnny Walker Red into the Coke bottle, and then I poured the Johnny Walker Blue into the Johnny Walker Red bottle. And finally, I poured the Johnny Walker Red into the Johnny Walker Blue bottle." Upon hearing this audacious plan, I was impressed. So therefore, in appreciation of his quick thinking, I handed him a $40 tip. Minutes later, the Iron Lady representative approached me and requested the remainder of the Johnny Walker Blue bottle. Without hesitation, I handed it to her. Since that time, 30 years has passed. Having worked in the homes of Larry Allison, the Gettys, the Juice, the Fishers, the John Deere family, the Gallo family, and the Japanese consulate of San Francisco. Having served Margaret Thatcher, Sharon Stone, Cheech Marin, Richard Gere, Cindy Crawford, Julia Child, the Queen of Thailand, and Joe Montana, to name a few, I have many stories to tell. Stay tuned.